There's a bunch of blonde hair on this couch. Did you notice that?
That's not my fault.
Like, really long blonde hair.
I feel like you're accusing me of something.
I'm not accusing you of something. You don't have long blonde hair.
There hasn't been anyone else.
You have short gray hair.
That's true. There hasn't been anyone else in this studio, Betsy. I would never podcast cheat on you.
Thank you. That means a lot to me.
Just bring another hostess in.
I want you to note that I just said thank you. That means a lot to me, but did not follow that up with, I would never do that to you either.
Obviously.
Yeah, no, I totally would.
If a better host came along, I would expect nothing less.
I mean, you gotta play your cards right.
Let's face it, it's not like I bring anything particularly unique or special into this relationship. As we've discussed, some of our listeners don't even believe I'm real.
This is true. This has happened recently. People think that I've just... Well, this actually makes me laugh because they did say, is he even real? Did you just get someone to pose in a photo with you? But the more... Which I find hilarious because I'm not clever enough to do that, to think of that. But also, how would I be able to throw my voice?
Right. That's the part that amazes me. Like, who is the male voice on the podcast if I'm fake?
Well, because we've all heard my male voice before.
Right. Hello, this is Betsy.
Hello, this is Betsy. Which sounds just like my normal voice, but funnier.
But deeper, yeah.
Scarier.
So, surprise, I'm real.
Yeah, it's true.
You can meet me in person if you want. As long as you're willing to come to me, because I'm not like going on tour or anything
yet,
anytime soon. Until we hit it big, then look out.
Right.
So, folks, hi, I'm Matt,
and I'm Betsy,
and this is Guy Talks.
The girl rolls her eyes,
and we are going to be getting into. I don't know if I'm going to call this a fun subject, but to certain humans, a fun subject. And this is a subject that has been a part of my life for almost 5 years now because it's a part of my wife's life.
Good. Yeah. Way to finish that. I was unsure what we were talking about for a second.
She brought this to my attention.
You know... You just got, you know, like all sentimental and mushy on, you know, the fact that this has been part of your life for about 5 years now.
Yeah.
It has also been a part of my life for about 5 years now.
Yeah.
Because your wife brought this to my life.
Right. And so what we're talking about today is knitting. This is our knitting episode.
Yeah. It's our knitting episode. And because apparently that's what we were really lacking. It's an episode on knitting.
The demand for this episode has been... palpable.
Non-existent.
But you know what? Not every episode is going to be in response to demand. We're not an on-demand production house. We don't just respond to the whims of the people, like some political candidates waffling about. We have to be true to our art.
We do. And also, I think it's fair to say we haven't really received any demands for specific subjects. So,
although we did finally get listener mail,
which we
will address at the end of this episode.
We did get listener
excitingly.
Mail.
Excitingly.
That's true.
The first ever listener mail.
Yeah. Yeah.
So knitting. Here's the thing that I like and liked initially and still like about knitting.
Wait, can I ask you, have you ever tried to knit before?
Like,
did you ever just, you know, when Carolyn's, like, sitting on the couch and you two are watching a movie and you see her, like, knitting away a beautiful afghan, which she does.
Yeah.
Do you ever think to yourself, you know what? I'm going to give it a go.
So, no is the answer.
Yeah, I assumed that.
However, I have sort of helped at times. So,
okay, explain to me how you sort of
Well, help. Like, there are times when she'll be in the middle of a... She'll be at a place where she can't stop without things falling off needles or something.
Right.
I don't really know how it works.
Yeah,
but,
that is how it works.
And then she like needs to use the restroom or wants to get some water or something.
You're like,
so she'll be like, here, hold this and don't move.
You're the holder.
Right? Or like I have to use a third needle to like catch a little loop that fell off or something.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I get called upon for the assist. Not often because... I don't pay attention well.
Right. It's a detail sport.
Yes. And so not set up for me.
No.
No.
Not set up for a lot of people I know.
Yeah.
I do well at it.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all.
No.
And if you're wondering why that doesn't surprise me out there in podcast land, just reference our most recent episode where we clearly identified Betsy's geeky tendencies.
Right. Yeah,
this
we did.
This is right in that zone.
I've come to peace with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, your wife taught me how to knit.
I know that.
She invited me to a knitting night one night that she was hosting in her apartment, which was really just her and one of her girlfriends, and then me and her cat, which I'm terrified of to this day.
And a couple bottles of wine, I suspect.
That's true. That is totally true. And the first thing I thought when I walked into your wife's apartment at that time, who was not your wife at that time,
right,
was she has the largest television I have ever seen.
Huge.
In a woman's apartment. And I don't mean that to be a sexist comment. I just don't understand, and I feel like most of my female friends do not understand the need to have a giant television.
It was very attractive to me.
Is that why? Early on. I'm getting to the nitty-gritty of this. Huh. Is that why you married your wife? Well, so you could have said television?
So, obviously, no. That's not the reason I married my wife. It is the reason I asked her to move in with me.
Got it.
Yeah. In fact,
you asked the TV to move in with you before your wife?
That's actually true. Yeah, that's a true fact.
No, it's not.
Yes, I swear to God, ask Carolyn. But I took her television to my house before she moved in. Like, not just like a day early because it was hard to move. Like, months. I had that television in my home long before she moved in.
Your tiny, tiny home.
Yeah. Yeah, it was little.
It was little. That was a big TV in a little house. Anyway, so she taught me how to knit, and I went over there, and she full well knew I had no idea what I was doing, and I'd never done it before. Mm-hmm.
She told me this story, she was very frustrated.
She was very frustrated, and I was very frustrated, mm-hmm. and she kept trying to teach me how to cast on the stitches, and then how to knit, and how to purl, and she kept trying and trying, and I did like four stitches, not rows, like four stitches in several hours. That's all I could manage. And we were both really frustrated, and I went home, and I Googled. She was like, maybe you just need to watch a YouTube video. Maybe I'm just not teaching you correctly, and you need to see it in the video.
Which, by the way, I should have known better, but I was shocked that there are hundreds of thousands of YouTube videos of just people doing these little knits and purls and stuff.
And it's really
helpful.
From
all kinds of angles and slow-mo and up close.
So I went home, and the next day or a few days later, I decided to give it a try again. And I got out my computer, and I put in knitting for left-handed people. Because what I forgot to tell your wife, and it did not dawn on me that it would be different, although most things are different in some capacity, was that I'm left-handed. And so the way she was teaching me just did not add up in my brain. I couldn't figure it out. The second I started watching the How to Do It for Left-Handed, everything was backwards, and it immediately clicked, and I whipped out a scarf like that night.
Mm-hmm. I actually remember this story so clearly because the moment that she found that out, she called me and was like, and it was my fault. Why didn't you tell me that Betsy was left-handed?
Like I couldn't have spoke up
right,
for myself.
Right, like I need it. I should have been on top of this situation.
Right.
But it made her really happy to know that she wasn't just a failure at teaching.
No, she was not a failure at teaching. I mean, I still can't remember anything she tried to teach me because now it's all like
backwards,
in my brain from the video. But yeah, I mean, it should have dawned on me because I do most things backwards. Maybe people don't really notice that, but
yeah, I don't.
You don't notice when you're with someone who's left-handed and everything's different backwards?
I
don't know. You can't adjust, you know. And like when I was younger, I had like special notebooks and stuff for left-handed people.
See, that totally makes sense to me. Yeah.
We're on the other side, so that my hand wouldn't get, you know, all stuck in the spiral or whatever. But there are certain things like place settings drive me nuts because you can't flip-flop them. I mean, you can once you sit at a table, but if you're at like a...
Yeah, it would mess up the whole aesthetic of the table.
Correct.
And you never know where that person's going to sit. That's the tricky thing. Unless you're going really formal. Like if you're having a dinner party at Melissa Goltra's house and there are little monogrammed place cards.
Which I will say she does flip-flop it.
Oh, does she?
Her husband
she
is also left. Her husband is also left-handed.
Oh, see.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. Talk about catering to your guests.
What a she adapts to your condition.
It is not a condition.
A syndrome?
No, not a syndrome. Frankly, I think it's a gift.
Oh.
It makes me special and different. Not very many, you know, not a large percentage of the population are left-handed.
I have to be careful to be sensitive because...
And also, even less females are left-handed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's more predominant in males.
Genetics are weird.
They're super weird. You know what is also weird is that my brother is also left-handed. Mm. So there's two of us in one family.
The reason I have to be careful is that it's almost a certainty at this point that my son is left-handed.
I know. I'm so excited to teach him how to tie his shoe because that's another one that's really hard.
It's yeah, backwards. That's I would have no idea how that would happen differently.
Yeah.
I'm kind of hoping he's just going to be ambidextrous and he'll be able to do lots of things.
Now, the good news is you won't have to worry about a lot of sports with Gabe because he's related to you. So yeah. Athletics are not really a certainty in his future, so you won't really have to worry about batting and throwing ball.
Although his Grandpa Ted keeps telling me that if he turns out to be a lefty, we really hit the jackpot because apparently
those pitchers get paid a lot more.
Lefty pitchers, yeah.
They're in high demand. That I do know that.
So once we do start throwing a ball, we're going to always place it in his left hand.
And we are always
just in case.
Going to pitch.
Right. Throw hard, Gabe. Throw really hard. So knitting is about as far from athletics as you can get, which makes it a good fit for our household.
But also sort of an endurance sport. Once you get going, you keep going.
Sure. Mental endurance, definitely. And I guess physical, you know, there's a lot of repetitive... I'm sure you could get a repetitive stress injury
perhaps
from knitting.
Carpal tunnel.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. Or you could really poke yourself bad with one of those needles. Some of them are
really
scary looking.
Really sharp, yeah.
Yeah. You could also get hurt in, this I've learned, in the aisles of a knitting store or in the knitting aisle of a hobby store like Michael's or something like that because some of those older knitting ladies...
They are not messing around.
Be crazy. Mm-hmm. They, like, if you are in between them and a... What do you call the little bales of yarn? What are they called? Skeins?
Skeins, yeah.
Skeins?
Yeah.
Like, if there's a skein that they want, like, they've eyed it. You know, there's eight more of the same color, but that one looks right to them, and they will cut you.
Yesterday, I went and sort of stocked up for the season. Because, you know, some people knit all year round. I don't do that. I can only knit in the fall and winter. Mm-hmm. And at this point, I'm willing the fall to come much faster. So I bought, you know, like pumpkin-scented candles and got out. Yeah, game on. Just, I'm ready for snowflakes to fall. And so I was there, and there was this adorable little lady in the aisle with me yesterday who was looking at the same yarn I was, which for a second made me stop and think, maybe this isn't the yarn for me. Because she's clearly 75, and I'm making like a big blanket, right? So I want it to be really like big and cozy and comfortable. I don't know what she was making, but probably a blanket or something.
Maybe like a shawl, puffy shawl.
She literally was like looking over my shoulder because although she's 75, she's taller than me, and trying to figure out what lot number the skein I was holding was, which I never really thought of before.
Yeah.
But then she explained to me that if you get skeins from different lot numbers, you're not assured they'll be the exact same color because they were dyed at different times.
And this is deeply concerning to those who take this seriously.
Good news for me. It was a different lot number, so I got to keep the one that I was holding.
That was generous
of
her.
It was, yeah. So it was interesting, though.
They're an interesting breed, the knitting geeks. And I don't know if my wife qualifies as a full-on knitting geek. She enjoys knitting, but she does not knit every year.
Nor do I.
But I do believe she will knit this year, largely because she is pregnant.
Right. She's nesting and knitting.
Right. So for those of you out there in the land who did not know this news, it is now official and public.
Yes.
Which
is great because I'm terrible at keeping secrets and I've totally kept it.
That was really good. Yeah. You did a really good job.
Yeah.
So what I remember, the time when I was introduced to knitting was long before Carolyn ever got pregnant, but the time when she spent... In our relationship, when she spent the most time knitting, like aggregate time was when she was pregnant, because you know, you maybe don't feel so great, you don't have a ton of energy to be running around town, and so it's kind of nice, especially in the winter, to be able to park yourself on the couch, mm-hmm. put a cozy blanket on and just go to town, maybe with a movie on, or in her case, 15 episodes of Friends
right.
on Netflix.
Netflix really helps the situation out a lot.
And here's much earlier than that is where I grew to actually become very knitting tolerant, because when it first started happening, I was like, oh, God, this looks boring. And can I go somewhere else, or do I have to sit here by you? And the answer was, you have to sit here by me. We're going to spend time together, and this is what I'll be doing while we spend time together.
But you can do something else.
Well, this is what I discovered.
You can play video games or something.
Yes! This is the wonderful thing. So for any... And whether it's a guy or a girl out there, for anyone out there whose significant other is potentially taking up knitting and you're sitting there thinking, oh, this is bad news for me, no. Just negotiate early that while they are knitting and have their hands occupied, you will, quote unquote, spend time with them.
I like the quote unquote thrown in there.
Right.
Which insinuates you're not actually spending time with them. You're just physically in the same room as them.
Yeah, we're physically next to each other on the couch. She's knitting and I guess watching me play video games. And I'm playing video games.
Speaking of the most boring thing ever, watching someone play video games.
Well, but here's the thing. She's not really watching me play video games, just like I'm not really sitting there watching her knit. We're just both doing those things in each other's physical presence.
I guess.
Yeah. So it's sort of like relationship building through osmosis, which, as we both know, works really well.
It's great. It's one technique.
We also have a – I don't know if I've ever told anyone this story. It's not so much a – it's a story, I guess.
I have a feeling even if it wasn't a story, you would make it a story.
Could be. Maybe we should get a podcast.
Maybe we should put this all down somewhere.
There's a pretty significant knitting tie-in to Carolyn and my relationship. Mm-hmm. So it's almost a metaphor, if you will.
Oh, I can't wait for this. I'm sure I've heard this story before.
So like many couples, at a certain point in our relationship, we went through a rough patch.
This is interesting because you were actually saying that the most she's ever knit is when she was pregnant with Gabe. And I was thinking, no,
right,
this is actually the case of where the most she's ever knit.
Yeah, in hindsight, that was an inaccurate statement.
Yeah.
So the biggest knitting project Carolyn ever took on is this, frankly, huge Afghan blanket.
It's beautiful.
It's really beautiful. And it's a color I really like. It's this cool, dark brown. Yeah, it's like a dark chocolate brown.
Yeah.
And it's made of, I think it's called fisherman's wool. So it's sort of a rougher texture, but it's really warm. It's nice. And it lays on at the foot of our bed right now. But when she started this project, it was her intent. She started it in the winter, and it was her intent that it would be a birthday gift for me, I believe, or maybe a Christmas gift. Maybe it was she started in the summer and it was going to be a Christmas gift. I don't know. But it was meant to be a gift for me. And I was like, oh, that's really nice. That sounds really cool. She was all excited about it. She's chugging away at it. And then we kind of hit this rough patch where we weren't really getting along very well and we had some issues to process, right? And we kind of split up, sort of. I don't know if it was ever officially made public, like this is...
I mean, I definitely remember it.
Yeah. It was... So, you call it whatever you want, a break or a rough patch.
We were on a break!
Yeah, which I hate.
Ross Geller's, like, just
she loves,
reverberating in your head.
Yeah. Loves that. But I hate the whole idea of breaks. So, we weren't on a break. But
I
hate
the idea of breaks, too.
It was bad.
Yeah.
During that whole bad phase, she kept knitting.
Yeah, she was a machine.
She, couldn't stop knitting. Now, for her, I think it was... maybe an outlet for her emotions or a way to distract herself from what was going on. I'm not sure. We'd have to ask her. But she just was knitting like a crazy person, as you said.
I actually didn't say that.
Like a machine is what you said.
Yes, I did not call her a crazy person. You, on the other hand, defined as a crazy person.
Maybe I said that. Check the tape. So But if, so while she was doing this whole time, I don't know if I ever said this to her, but the fact that she kept knitting was like in the back of my head, it was evidence that this was going to work out.
Well, yeah, right? Because you're looking for any like...
Yeah.
Like, any give on the other person's part. I totally can relate to that. Yeah.
So this whole time, and it was weeks. Where it was really rough and where there were... Where it was not a certain thing that we would get back together. But yet, this whole time, this Afghan is getting bigger and bigger. And then when we did end up coming back together, she completed it. And the funny thing is that she, and I'm making air quotes with my fingers right now, she gave it to me as a gift and then immediately took it back. So, like, she has put so much effort and, like, heartache and time into this thing that she was like, she was basically like, yeah, this is a gift for you, but give it here. That's mine.
But I want to snuggle it a little while.
Yeah. And now, like, I tell her all the time that it's my Afghan, but like, whatever, but our stuff is our stuff. But she still describes it as her.
Is your stuff your stuff, or is your stuff her stuff and her stuff is her stuff?
Yes, that.
Yeah.
That.
And Gabe's stuff is Gabe's stuff, but your stuff's also Gabe's stuff.
Yes, that's accurate.
Yeah.
In all of my belongings belong to them as well.
Yeah.
But that's not necessarily
true. I mean, I'm sure
she'd
share with you her handbags or like...
She does generously share many of her belongings with me. That doesn't make them my belongings.
No, nor do you really want to borrow most of them.
No, but sometimes I'd like to use the Afghan because I really like it. But it's not mine. It's mine in name only. It's like I'm holding it for her at times.
It's thoughtful of you.
Yeah. Also, a lot of my
chivalry
shirts,
is not dead.
A lot of my shirts are also that way. They're my shirts until she needs them for pajamas.
Well, yeah.
And then they're her shirts as well, which is good. So that's my knitting story.
That's a great story.
I thought it's not a bad.
It ends
story.
Well.
Yeah.
It was really knit together there at the end.
Oh, boom! And so the knitting puns arrive on the scene.
Okay.
And I'm very excited.
We are doing this episode solely because you have promised me a life-changing knitting pun, and you refused to tell me before we were live on the air. I'm sorry, are you looking it up right now?
No,
you don't
no,
even
no,
have
no.
it memorized?
No, I've got it. It's just so good.
If it's so amazing. You've built this up so much, there's no way it's going to land well. You know that, right?
You just got to be open-minded about it. Okay, so
I am open-minded.
That have no idea what's going on right now. I told Betsy before this episode that I had a great knitting pun, and I'm pretty sure that this is the first time this has been said. Now, I might be wrong because the internet is big.
Let's also clarify, you made a whole lot of other promises about this pun, including...
That it's amazing?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
This is gonna take us to the big time.
Yeah, this is probably what's going to hurdle our podcast into popularity.
This is going to be like the new best-selling t-shirt.
People are going to be like, did you hear it? Do you have the shirt yet?
So I'm really excited to hear what this is.
And after I say it out loud, we're going to make it into a meme and put it on the Facebook page.
I'm excited.
As well. So here it goes.
I'm ready for my mind to be blown. You literally are reading this off your phone.
Yeah.
You wrote it down.
If you're having pearl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a knit ain't one. That's so good.
That's not terrible.
Boom! Jay-Z drops the sick knitting bomb.
That is not terrible.
If you haven't pearl problems.
See, pearl problems, for those of you that are listening and have no idea about knitting.
E-U-R-L.
A pearl is a stitch. It's one of the two most common stitches that are used.
But a stitch ain't one is what I meant to say. Dang, see, I knew I was going to get it wrong.
That's why you were writing.
I got 99 problems, but a stitch ain't one. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, put that on a tote bag and...
Right on a tote bag. Right on an NPR canvas tote bag.
Old lady knitters are just running towards it.
I'm telling you, there's some gangster grandmas out there who will be like...
Not even grandmas. I actually have a friend named Keisha in Chicago who is of similar age to us.
Yeah.
And she's like a crazy knitter. Like, I could never...
She's going to want the shirt.
She's totally going to want this shirt. I mean, she makes beautiful, beautiful things, and it's very... She does it all the time. I mean, she's also like a fantasy football aficionado, and you will see her every Sunday at the bar watching these games knitting while she's sitting there.
Wow.
Brings her knitting with her.
That's like, an interesting blend.
I can't do it. You know, I can't. I mean, I'll watch football on Sundays and knit, but it has to be at my own house or it's, you know, someone's house that I'm.
Incidentally, this is good foreshadowing because sometime in the next several weeks, we will be entering the NFL season, and all of you out there should expect at least one episode about our respective fandoms.
Yes.
And at least one episode on fantasy football, since Betsy and I will be in a league together, the focus
training. Which has never happened. We've never been in a league together before.
That's right.
Also, it's probably going to be one episode, I feel like.
We
don't need to.
Okay, let's see. We'll just see. I mean, fantasy sports as a topic is easily one whole episode. And then we have to talk about this whole Vikings, Bears, Packers thing.
Oh, I hate the Packers.
Right? Okay, save it. Save it. Save the vitriol. That's good. That's podcast gold, Betsy.
That actually is podcast gold. Yeah. We might do okay on that one.
So any other thoughts about knitting before we get to listener mail?
Yeah, I wonder how much money is made in knitting paraphernalia each year.
Oh my gosh.
You know,
amazing.
You go on, and if you want to knit something other than like a scarf that's in a straight line, you need a pattern for it. So you can Google, you know, like scarf patterns or hat patterns or whatever you want to, you know, make. And the items for sale that come up, one, make me laugh out loud because who is buying these? Mm-hmm. And then also, they're expensive. People are making huge amounts of money.
Yeah. I mean, even just some of this yarn, the markup is...
Yarn is really expensive.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not expensive to produce.
No. But I mean, yesterday I spent $15 a skein. So about two of them, so $30.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. It's not... I mean, it's comfy. It's going to be a really nice blanket.
This weekend, I spent $15 on three t-shirts.
Okay, well...
They were already made. I don't have to make them at all. I think someone in Bangladesh made them.
$15 for three shirts? Where did you buy them at?
The Old Navy outlet store. We're on our way back from Madison.
Oh, yeah. Old Navy is a really inexpensive place.
They use
place.
A lot of child labor.
No, they...
Yeah, no, they do.
Well, then why are you shopping there?
Three shirts for $5 each?
Child labor?
It's a great job, kids. You're doing a great job.
Oh, my gosh. There it is. There's the point in the podcast where you've just dug your own grave once again. You know, you sometimes make comments about how I always sound better in a podcast.
Yeah.
It's because of things like this. I mean...
Okay, but you've never purchased anything at Old Navy?
Not recently, but
or
I
like
also...
Zara?
No, I've never purchased anything.
Oh, my wife loves Zara.
You know I only
shop... She also loves the child labor.
Okay.
Zara got in trouble for child labor a bunch of times.
You know that I only shop at like three
stores. Gap. Lots of child labor.
Now you're just naming stores
at. The Gap has been busted like 15 times over the last 20-odd years.
Well, I don't know why. They charge enough money. They should be able to pay somebody regular wages.
It's more fun to mark it up.
Not paying $70 for a pair of jeans that a child created. Not that the child didn't do a good job because they're nice jeans, but right. I'm just saying I'm not supporting that. That's not who I am.
You got to buy jeans out of Detroit then and spend $200.
Well, if that's what I have to do.
But it's selvage. How do you pronounce it? Selvage?
I have no idea.
Selvage? Some kind of fancy down.
Just because you move your hand around when you say it.
Sauvage. That makes it French, I think.
That does not make any difference.
I also got a really good deal on jeans at the Banana Republic outlet. Cheap.
Really?
Well, cheap for Banana.
Well, you know what? This is great. I'm so glad that you had a really positive shopping
None
experience.
Of it is knit, though.
Actually, it's all knit. Just...
Oh, yeah. Is that how that works?
Yeah, that's how they make fabric, just in a very different scale.
Sure. It's all making sense to me now.
That
I hadn't really thought about that.
Yep.
Fabric. Like on a loom.
Like on a loom. Yep. Like on a loom.
Well, before this devolves too much more, I think it's time for our first ever listener mail.
I'm excited about this.
Me too.
Don't read the whole thing because it'll take you 10 minutes.
Oh, no, it won't. So this listener mail comes from one of our listeners, Miss Anne Riccio. And Anne says...
Affectionately known to us as Freakio,
Freaks.
Which just goes ahead to show you that when you were in high school coming up with nicknames for people,
is easy. You just think of one thing that rhymes with their last name.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for her, we weren't very creative.
One of the keys to good nicknaming is don't put a lot of thought into it.
Nope, but it sure did stick all these years later.
It sure did.
Poor girl.
So, Anne says, Matt and Betsy, I may not be the best with technology, and oftentimes I refuse to participate in various social media outlets. That being said, I have never before listened to a podcast, but once I heard you were producing one, I had to check it out. GTGRHE, which is so easy to say, was my first podcast ever. Thank you for providing entertainment on the train and bringing a smile to my face. I'm now obsessed with podcasts and am an avid listener to a variety of shows. My one question for you touches upon travel. Since you both travel regularly, where in the U.S. would you recommend that one travel to? So many of your friends and focus family members have taken fabulous trips, like Lindsay traveled to Maine. Pretty fabulous.
Did she pull
That's
that
the
out
example
in there?
That she specifically cites. Yeah.
She's in Maine right now, yeah. Actually.
Any cute towns you've come across that would not typically be on a standard tourist hit list? I'm always searching for ideas and hope to plan a trip later this year. Looking forward to your suggestions.
I have one right off the bat.
Go.
Billings, Montana.
Oh.
We were in Billings earlier this summer, and we were walking around.
Billings.
I loved it. It felt very much like Milwaukee. It was very quaint and cute. Mm-hmm. It was full of breweries, which is also great.
Yeah, that doesn't hurt.
I liked it. Everybody was so nice and chatty. We found that one woman who was from a different state who's going to listen to our podcast because she was eavesdropping on our conversation.
Yeah.
Which was creepy, but also flattering.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah. Well, you liked it because she thought we were funny.
Yeah.
That's why you like people.
Right.
Because they think you're funny.
I'm always down for a good ego massage.
Yeah. So Billings, Montana, I think if you've never been and you have the opportunity to pass through, do it.
Great suggestion. I'll offer something a little... Well, I don't know if anything is more off the beaten path than Billings, Montana, but this is...
Well, there's one that I can think of.
This is very small. A place called Titusville, Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah, Titusville.
So years ago, we had an Ignition client in Titusville, PA. And Titusville is an itty-bitty little town up in coal country. It's up in the hills of Pennsylvania, about an hour east of Erie. It's a beautiful drive from Erie to Titusville. Erie also is a cute little town. But Titusville, to me, is as close to like a Smallville kind of
like
experience.
Mayberry?
Yes, very much so. Like really adorable town tucked in these pine forests up in these small mountains. And everybody knows each other's name, and there's this cute little brew pub. So we're seeing some common threads here.
Right.
Cute little brew pub right downtown. Really, really adorable. Now, it's been 6-7 years since I've been to Titusville, so I can't necessarily vouch for how well the coal industry is doing out there, if the town still exists on a map. But awfully cute. It made me fall in love with small-town America again. Go get it, Anne.
And Betsy, that's interesting because Anne lives in New York, so...
Right, about as far from this Titusville experience as you could get.
Yeah, and as far from Billings, Montana as you can get,
that
so...
That is true as well.
That's right.
I think it's time for us to briefly share our podcast pal.
Okay.
Did you have someone in mind this time?
Did I have someone in mind for our podcast pal?
Yeah.
I don't. Have someone specific. I mean, I have a thought, but do you have someone specific?
Yeah, I think it's about time that we shouted out this person. Now, I will say that I'm not confident that this person listens to our podcast.
In fact, it's
very possible that he does not.
Okay.
But he has always been a big supporter of us in general. Who I'm talking about is Latrell Armstrong.
Oh, Latrell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Latrell Armstrong is many people's favorite dude, favorite human, and he's definitely one of ours too.
True.
Latrell has been a crazy road warrior this year out.
And every year.
And every year.
Yeah.
But especially this year, I think he's going to hit diamond medallion status on Delta like a boss.
Yeah, that's fancy. Those are fancy pants Latrell's wearing.
I have never achieved that level of pants.
Yeah.
So... this is, I think, a good opportunity to shout him out. He's coming into town tonight.
Tonight.
He lands in Milwaukee any minute.
Yeah.
Or in like an hour, I guess.
Yeah.
An hour and a half. And I'm very excited to see him because now he lives in Miami, far, far away.
Yeah, because he couldn't deal with the winters here.
No, so he prefers Zika, apparently.
That's totally true. We've talked about this. Yeah.
So shout out to Latrell Armstrong, our podcast pal. And with that, it's just time to remind you that I'm Matt.
And I'm Betsy.
And this has been Guy Talks.
And Girl Rolls Her Eyes.